Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, good afternoon in the East. It is the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. Got Philip Walthall here on the right, and out manning left field is James Utzler. So, it didn't help me a whole lot that the Vermont people threw up a repeat, because it's been so long since I heard that repeat. Although I am familiar with it, I probably couldn't comment intelligently on it. I had, the gathering, post-service gathering going on in here, so I couldn't really pay attention to it. But James, we have you here, and I know you were listening. So tell us about the agenda thing.
Well, Steve was talking about our agenda versus God's agenda. And he, not his whole sermon, but part of it was specifically talking about in the fellowship how our agendas prohibit forward movement within the body when we're all trying to accomplish our own agendas.
Yeah.
Instead of looking to the Lord and his agenda and trying to accomplish his work, and he said, people may say things to you and you try to apply it still to your own agenda instead of maybe stepping back and looking and realizing that your agenda isn't lined enough with the Lord's. And we need to, our mindset needs to be on the Lord.
Yeah. And, his agenda is not one of those unknowable, unsearchable things.
It's really easy. Not complicated.
No, it's not.
We put in all our stuff that makes it complicated.
It's only complicated to those who are resisting it and trying to hold on to their own agenda. So,
I think the big point he was making is, as a body, we need to do the Lord's agenda.
Yep.
And that's a big part in this fellowship. That's where we lack and where a lot of problems lie or exist, is we all have our own agendas.
Time to drop it. I'm sorry, I apologize for being sorry.
Good point, James. Well, let's leave off there. Yeah, let's play a song.
Is that your agenda, Phil?
There we go. Just keep preaching, brother.
Preach on.
We know Phil's agenda now.
Thanks for pointing that
out. But if we all have one agenda,
praise God,
it means we're of one mind, which is the mind of Christ. And we as a body can move forward in the Lord. That's really how we're supposed to operate as a body. With our own agendas, we're not a body. We're our own individual bodies.
Gail said, go ahead.
As a body, when we are all trying to do our agenda, it looks and works like cats in a bag. Lots of movement going nowhere. That's so true.
It kind of reminds me.
Kind of looks like dance, like one American Bandstand or Soul Train. It's like all kinds of movement going on, but it ain't getting anywhere.
But they were grooving, man. Did you not see how awesome they were grooving?
Those chicks in the
man?
Tank tops, I tell you what.
Look, Paul, shiny thing.
Shiny thing, yeah. Shiny, yeah, thing. Well, yeah.
I actually remember my brother putting the cat in the bag at the house in a pillowcase.
That's not a bad thing.
And he put him in, twirled it around, put it in a pillowcase, and he like twirled it up real tight at the top, so you know it's kind of in there. Well, he put it in the closet and he forgot about it. And guess what? The cat didn't go anywhere. Cat didn't go nowhere.
Go figure.
Yeah. It's like 3 days or something. I forget how long. Like, oh, cat!
The cat in the bag. that's the Wallfall version of the Cat in the Hat.
And he was a Walthall, by the way.
Yes, yes, he was. Oh, man. We are terrible. It's a good thing that Jesus loved us enough to be concerned for us, to die for us, because we are hopelessly not up to the standard that we would accept. Oh, me. So his grace and mercy in abundance is the only hope we have. Drop the mic quick.
Well, James, is there anything else that you would have to say?
Well, I think Mel had, you know what Mel started with this morning about leaning not under your own understanding is a important thing for us all to remember, and that kind of ties right into our own agendas, because when we're doing our own agendas, we're leaning under our own understanding. I mean, the two tie together, to me, quite well.
Right, I mean, because what you understand, when you lean on your own understanding, what you go about doing that which you understand. And when
you're not looking to the Lord.
Right, and then when you get bent on that in the sense of, I mean, you're less like your face is steadfast on what you think is right, what you think is the most important thing to do, and it could be the counsel that you're even given in that sense is absolutely contrary to your own understanding. Contrary to your own understanding there, and that's, you know, that's where, you know, it's really simple as you're talking about, but when we actually resist, when we actually resist that and really are hell bent on our own understanding, that's where it gets complicated for us, because we're trying to mix the two. We're not abandoning the one and going after the other. And that's where even you were talking about, I think a little bit earlier there, James, you were talking about even when you try to take that counsel that you're given and mix it with your own agenda. It's not that you abandon the one and then hang on to the, and then, you know, cleaves onto the other. See, that's not, it's when you abandon that. When you abandon that own, your own understanding, you abandon your own agenda to do his agenda. I mean, that's the place where we need to be. You know, it's kind of, you know, I look at it as, you know, you can't put new wine into old bottles lest they burst, right? You know, I look at that, you know, kind of what Jesus said there and kind of relating to that. I mean, that's what comes to mind in that sense, because you're not abandoning that old man. You're not abandoning your own understanding. You're not abandoning your own agenda and what you would have done, and cleaving on to his agenda, what he would have done. See, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. It's not going to mix. And it's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to go anywhere.
The other thing is that when you have your own agenda and somebody comes and tells you something, the Lord didn't have them tell you that to further your own agenda. If that makes sense, I hope that does.
Hmm.
Does it not, Paul?
I'm the wrong person to even ask right now.
You know, I mean, we can resist and try to apply it to our own agenda, but it wasn't right. given to us for our agenda.
No, it wasn't. The real problem with that is it's a kind of a polite thing, polite way of saying that you haven't quite decided who's lord of your life. Because if you're working on your own agenda, then you're not operating in yieldness to, in submission to, the lordship of Jesus Christ. When you listen to Paul talk about being a bondslave, he's somebody who's been bought with a price. And he owes the master his full attention. He doesn't have his own agenda. He wakes up in the morning, he's on the clock. He goes to bed at night, he's on the clock. So, you know, that's just one example. I could give you many more. That's just the one I'm most familiar with at the time here, but that was his position. That's where he regarded himself. That is a choice. You're either committed to the Lord or you're not. You're subject to his lordship or you're not. You're yielded to his ways or you're not. I tried that's like four times there to get the word submission out, but it didn't come, so I'll just let somebody else go from here. Oh, let's see. Not a lot that is helpful in the chat room. Carter's not Dr. Seuss Walthall. It's Dr. Dr. Michael Walthall. The Cat in the Bag would be his claim to fame. The Cat in the Bag, not the Cat in the Hat. That's a different doctor. Oh, me. There's just no good excuse for some of us some of the time. Like, when we're awake. It is a question of continual readjustment of our commitment and our choices. It's a choice to not value or have any confidence in our own understanding, our own evaluation of the way things are. We're supposed to be depending on the revelation of the Lord and his instructions and his opinion on the way things are. Those are the ones that count. Those are the only ones that should concern us. Nothing else matters. And if that's not your testimony at this point, at this moment, then who's Lord?
Scripture comes in mind as you were talking about that, Paulie, and that's without me you can do nothing.
Right.
And you take a look at Jesus who, I mean, not my will be done but yours. And you know, we talk about the garden, him making that choice, and making that choice before he went to the cross. But, I mean, look at his everyday life was that. When he got up, every moment, every period, you know, was to do the Father's will. Either go here, go there, say that, tell this person this. I mean, it was the Father's will in and throughout. I mean, he did that daily. And even he testifies. I mean, what does he testify if when he says, you know, of myself I can do nothing? Of myself I can do nothing. I mean, what is our testimony? Is the same as of myself I can do nothing. You know, with that in John 5, without me you can do nothing. And it's just
certainly of myself I can do nothing that pleases him. I mean, this flesh is not, it's not on the same page. And it wants to be Lord.
Yeah, and that, I mean, when the part says, without me you can do nothing, that nothing, I mean, that's a definition, because anything that is not of the Father, is nothing. I mean, it just brings of no consequence of any kind of change or any kind of any kind of abundance of life at all.
Right.
You know, I mean, okay, Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead. It was life. He was given life over and over and over and over. Through his death, he gave life over and over and over. His words that he spake, what were they? They were what? Life. You know, other than that, anything other than that is nothing. You know, it's kind of like how he looks at dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Yeah, they're out there walking around, but they're dead men walking. Without Christ, you're dead men walking because you're cut off from the Spirit. It's like that rose bush, man. Yeah, you know, we give out roses at work. You cut that thing off from the vine there. You cut that thing from the vine. It, and it could be a little bud. It could, you know how the petals are all closed up and everything. You put it in water, it'll sprout up.
Looks like it's still got life in it.
It still looks like it's got life in it. It'll still even feather out and bloom out. But then what happens is it dies and the leaves fall off. And so what we take as
manifests physically what was the case at the moment you cut it.
Exactly.
It takes a while for it to manifest.
Absolutely. And that's why when he looks at dead, that's dead is at what we think look as dead is different than what God looks as dead. What we look as love is different from what God looks as love. What we look as something, or what we look as nothing, is different than what God looks at what is nothing is. You know.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's a simple basic thing when we're looking for a complex, you know, formula to get ourselves right, and it's something really basic like you have not because you ask not.
Well, you look at, it's kind of funny, you know, how we look at things and how what God considers dead, what we consider dead, what God considers love, what we consider love. You look at that is, you see the difference between our own understanding and his understanding are completely different. But, Paul, you were going on a subject, and I don't want to derail that subject. I just want to make that last point before we got off subject. So go ahead.
I thought I was done.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps I wasn't. Maybe I ought to know what I was talking about then.
Well, you were talking about because you have not, because you ask not.
Oh, yeah, sure. And you know, another dip into James 4. You ask amiss on the stuff you do ask for. Because it's about, again, whose agenda are you wanting to serve with what you're asking for? Something is really, and that my whole point was, is something simple. Not a deep theological construct, but you have not because you ask not. That's really more simple an answer than anybody really wants to hear. If they want to hear something that they can, you know, get their teeth sunk into. And that simple, the simplicity of that is, unfortunately, it shows how far we have veered off the track, how untrusting we are of his agenda and his way being profitable and good for us and good for us to be good for others. Because if we believe that and we were trusting in that, then we would choose to keep ourselves focused on what his word says. And, you know, I used to be a bad one for it. My mother trained me well. She was, she'd walk around and go, "I can't believe nobody's offered to help me." I was like, "Really?" I can sit back now and go, "Gee, woman, why didn't you just ask? Why are you constantly command that everybody be mind readers and stuff?" We do the same thing, you know. She would rather be justified
in being angry,
and being ignored and forlorn and all this kind of stuff. She'd rather be justified in her struggle than to stoop to ask for help. And I was just like her. I probably still am too many ways. But there's judgment in that, you know. It was one of the things, you know, that my relationship with my mother taught me about how we are. You see it in operation with so many people. They would rather sit down and be angry and be justified in their anger than to address the situation and get it dealt with.
And, you know, Grandma, I mean, the cool thing about Grandma, though, is that you've seen at the end of her days, she got shed of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, she really did. I mean, it came down to her.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about 30, 40 years back.
No, right, yeah. Right. But, I mean, remember, I mean, she would ask for help with the cats, you know. She'd ask for help. I mean, she'd call me. She'd let me know. And, she knew that I had. She was also very respectful in what I had going on. And said, "When you can, I need you to do that." But you see that going down now. And also, I think the final thing with your grandmother, I know we're talking, I love my grandmother so much, and I miss her to this day.
When she asked you for help, that was an indication of her acceptance of you. And she could do that because she accepted you and she loved you. And she would be comfortable enough to ask for help from people who she knew were hers.
And, you know, it was always a blessing, Paul, whether it become up. And sometimes I get my hand clawed up. I mean, this was the ask. I mean, I'd go climb up on these cat cages. The ceiling, I didn't have enough to get on my knees.
Mom, I can solve this with a flamethrower.
I hear you, but it was always a blessing. What I mean by that is she would either be there. Sometimes I'd just go handle it. But the most part, she would be there. And she would help me. I'd hand down the cat to her or something, you know. But it was always a blessing to talk with her. I'd be going through a struggle or a time, and we'd always talk. And it was always, you know, I mean, gosh, don't hear me wrong. I mean, when I first got the call, my initial reaction was like, I had a battle. I had to put off my own agenda. But when I did, and I went and got and did those things, it was always a blessing, I think, for her and I both. For her and I both. And, you know, the final thing that worked with Grandma, because she was very a woman's woman. I mean, she was very capable at her old age to do a lot of things. And she raised the cats and these kinds of things. But I think the final thing was that she was not able to do pretty much anything for herself. She was not able to do anything for herself, and she was, and Hope did a great job standing strong in there and helping her. Long nights, helping her clean up, take care of her, and these kinds of things. And we were clueless of what we were doing. We're probably the most, I mean, I know I was the most terrible help she probably ever had when it came to that stuff. I know Hope was well, but we didn't have an outline. The nurses we had weren't that much help, but it was, I think, I mean, for her, it was just the last thing that she just really had to overcome for herself. Do you know what I'm saying? And I, it, that would make her better off in her entrance in, because I believe she went to go be with the Lord. You know, I can't, you know, so, but it was a, it definitely was a blessing. And she was well over that by the times things came around. I remember that. I was, she was a blessing to be around.
Yeah.
And she was not, gosh, I mean, with her old, I mean, I tell her about, you know, my frustrations, my aggravations. And she'd relate. I mean, she relate. She understood. Not judgment in it at all. And probably the most least place I was judged in the midst of a lot of struggles that I was having was there with my grandmother inside that cat room. And amongst, in the midst of many things, there's probably one of the least place, I wouldn't say the least place, but one of the least place I was judged there and could share these things. It was a huge blessing.
Yeah. Well, you know, she taught us probably an awful lot. At last, probably 20 years of her life, she was a different woman. Not the one I grew up with. So, I just would wonder why both of our minds are kind of dwelling on that. There's just 5 years ago this weekend that she died. So,
I didn't realize that.
Yep. September 11th. So
she was good to us.
It, it was, an experience. And if it wasn't an experience of anything else, and it was an experience of having to get outside of yourself and be, learn how to care for and prefer others and their needs in front of yourself, there's nothing, you know, quite like somebody who's vulnerable and needs help. And being able to provide that without it being an obligation, but rather being a privilege, you know, an honor to be trusted. So,
You notice, when we're talking about agenda, you notice, you know, just kind of talking about, it'd be that battle or that struggle to go, damn, I have to climb up on the cat cage and grab those cats, that it always ended up being a blessing. It always been, it was actually a load off. You know, we were talking about, you know, where Lisa brought up in Matthew and Thursday night about the, about my yoke is easy, my burden is light, there in Matthew. And you see that. I mean, you know, I'm just kind of looking back, pondering on those things, and it, you could see where I would go to go do that, and what would happen was a load being lifted off. A load being lifted off, not put on. And see, when we let go, when we grab a hold of doing the Lord's agenda, that's exactly what happens. That's when you do it in the right way. That's when you absolutely abandon everything that is before you, or you see the do, or, you know, that you abandon all that, or that you think you understand would be the right thing to do. But that's when you actually abandon that. You just live in the now. You do what the Lord says in that moment. And it's a freeing thing. It's a freeing thing. What ended up happening and doing that, making that choice, was always a freeing thing. It was always a freeing thing.
Yeah, Sue put in there, you know, the ways that she was blessing us were not just in the house that she gave them the funds to purchase, but in the provision she made for us as well. She showed her acceptance and commitment. And it, she was a blessing. Certainly was not burdensome. She's a piece of work, man. She's a busy old woman for somebody her age.
I mean, and the way she would relate to me, I remember the way she would relate to me would be like, I'd be like, man, it makes me so mad, Grandma. She goes, you can come in here anytime and scream on the top of your lungs because of if you're frustrated something, just get these things out and give it to the Lord. And she, you know what she turns me to? She turns and tells me, she goes, I do it all the time. I do it all the time. I understand. But when I go and do it, it's gone, Philip. Hey, it's gone. I don't have to carry that stuff. Lord's bigger than all that stuff.
Sue says she was a hoot, the cat lady. We're going to have to. This is not supposed to be a show about my mother. It's supposed to be a show about the truth about Jesus Christ. So,
well, there's so many things.
So, there's a shiny thing there, but
right. But there's so many things in there that are truths.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. But it all stems from going back to what Jesus gave us to partake in.
Right.
That's where it all stemmed from. And you see the provision of the Lord coming down, providing for grandmother, providing for us, providing for people here, ministry here. You see that provision just come right on down.
Well, that's certainly a testimony of his ministering through other people. You're willing to be used of him.
Which, on that point, I know one of the things I shared Thursday night was just a little something, but that was exactly it. Was we were talking about, his hand is outstretched. It was always outstretched. And one of the ways is, man, it's about when we receive that. I mean, his hand out might be outstretched. It might be through somebody else. A lot of times it is. The counsel, the advice, the correction, the provision, the, you know, whatever the case may be, his hand is outstretched for us, and it's usually through others. And see, if we're not humble enough to receive those things, we won't receive them. It's no different as batting those things away, batting his hand out of the way, saying, no, thank you, I got this. No, thank you, I got this. No, thank you, I got this. We're doing the same thing, and that's what the children of Israel did. I want to be your king. Boom, slapped it out. No, we want a king like other nations. I mean, he solemnly protested against the people to not, I would be your king. This is what's going to happen if you get a natural king. You know, and once again, just slap it out of the way. And we do that, but we don't even realize we do it. We do it so often.
Right.
Because it's through other people. I mean, remember Steve was talking about the when he first became, coming to the Lord, he was under everybody. He was under the dog. And look, I mean, he learned discernment from the dog. He learned some kid would say something, it'd strike him, and he got fed. Why? Because he was humble. And he was willing to receive from the Lord however he saw fit. However he saw fit.
Others didn't get that same experience because others were too prideful and they never received because they weren't humble. I say, he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so his provision's out there, man. But for you to receive that, you have to humble yourself. Yeah. And that provision, at 9 times out of 10, is coming through others. Whatever that provision is. Is it, if it's counsel to go forward in a situation, if it's provision for you as financial, might be coming through another person. If it's help that you need, might be coming through another person. Whatever the case may be, 9 times out of 10, it's coming through another person. But if you're too proud to receive it, you're no different than just like that guy who has that, you know, he's hanging on by on the side of the cliff. Lord, I need your help. I mean, the Lord's going to help us here. Helicopter, you need some help? No, the Lord's going to save us. You know, and the second time and the third time, messing up the story very badly, I know. But however the case may be, and then, you know, he can't hang on anymore. He falls and dies. Well, the Lord sent 3 different people, but he wasn't humble enough. He was expecting something else, and he wasn't humble enough to receive what the Lord was giving him.
Lord, you didn't meet my expectations.
What are you talking about? I sent this guy. I sent that guy. I sent this guy. What do you mean?
That is so how we are.
James, do you have something?
I was listening to you, Phil. But no, that is how we are. And, you know, it goes back to humility, being able, being humble enough to receive it. And I don't know what else to really say, but I mean, it's,
and what
it's
happens,
putting off the pride.
And you see that provision being all set around somebody, and what happens is when they, let me put it this way, when the things, I mean, just like the guy, if he, you know, the story I was telling, it's a fictional story, I think, but, it, you know, the guy falls and he goes, well, Lord, why didn't you help me? What? Who did they blame? Who did they blame? They blame
God.
God. And the whole time, that provision was right all around that person. But they wouldn't take heed. They wouldn't take heed to let go of their own agenda and get on his.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is, you know, in that instance, you have your own understanding of how it should be. And then when the Lord brings the way out, it's not what is in your mind as being the way out. So you don't receive it.
Amen. I remember Carrie was talking about, she was, I know that she had something going on. I think she had surgery on her knee, is what it was. And we're all standing by. It was like Steve, Carrie, and I were in Vermont at that time. And, you know, Carrie was talking about how she knew she got prayed for her knee and everything. And she had a belief or trust in the Lord to take care of it. But you know how it got met? She actually had surgery on it. And it got handled. It got dealt with. She's, things doing fine now. The whole thing about that was, however it comes to you, she was happy to receive it. And that's the way that the Lord provided for her. How it gets done, it just is of no consequence. Of no consequence. And I mean, you've seen it's kind of neat how that works. And I remember Steve talking about, you know, we went out on the boat, we went out on these things. Steve and I were the most clueless people probably in the ministry of how to take out a boat and bring one back in, how to back up a trailer. I mean, we were just, we were absolutely just.
May as well put wheels on that thing because it's going to be a bottom dweller.
Right, but our faith wasn't in our ability, or we would have never went.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never upon our own ability, or we would have never went. And it never would have worked, I mean, even if we did. But no, what we did was we got it in. We received help from others. We learned some things by trial and error and all these things. And guess what? It didn't sink. It didn't sink. I mean, shoot, there was one time all of us were on the front of the boat, and, you know, a wave comes in from the back and kind of tilted up, and we was like, well, I mean, he goes, you know, Steve was thinking to himself while he's in the driver's seat, he's going, well, man, I can't believe we're sinking this thing already. but that didn't happen. But the whole point, however that happened, we were humble enough to receive whatever we had to do, even if it was looking like a bunch of complete idiots, which we really, quite frankly, didn't care because we knew we were. And we were doing this thing and backing this thing out, or people
everybody,
coming to help us.
Everybody has a certain just role to fill.
Right.
And we can
to
look
me,
like idiots.
I quite frankly enjoyed doing it with Steve because we didn't have anybody actually sitting there going, go do this and do that and do that, which would have been nice. However, we did receive some help from others. But just the fact that Steve and I learned just by, I mean, it was just trial and error. Oh, okay, you got to do it like this. Okay, I mean, I learned a lot more just by putting our hands to it ourselves. And, you know, it was, we got it done. I mean, that's kind of chasing a white rabbit here, so forgive me, guys. But however your need get met, it doesn't matter to you. However you get filled doesn't matter to you. It really doesn't. Through somebody
otherwise,
else,
you're
through
in
a dog,
position of judging
kid.
The provision of the Lord, and that's not a good place to be in either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, but when we're looking at
it's not his job to meet your expectations. It's your job to meet his.
Absolutely. Well, you serve him.
Yeah.
I mean, you serve him. And see, he meets you when it's you serving him. That's why you ask the... You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss.
It's like that conversation.
To conceive it upon your own lust.
That conversation he had with Job. So where were you when I was forming the earth? The stars. Did I seek your counsel?
Right. Well, and then that's the thing. I mean, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. There's a double thing going on there. One is if you got what you asked for that was not of the Lord to consume on your own lust, that would do nothing for you.
Right.
I mean, the only thing that would do is to just head you down the wrong path. Wrong path. Thinking you're right and in presumption when the whole time you're dead wrong. Two, the other part of that is you serve Him. I mean, you serve Him. He's going to give you everything you need to serve Him. It's just like when you ask that prayer, you want to get received from the Lord. Pray those things that you know He'll answer. Lord, strengthen me to strengthen my will to do Yours, O Lord. You know, create in me a clean heart, the bottom of that prayer. When you do all these things, as He says, then I will teach transgressors Thy ways, O Lord. What was it to do? To get the gospel out to others. That's what the whole thing was for. And for God's grace to be shined above that others may receive. See, it was always according to His will. Well, why do you think Jesus could go around and heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils? It's because it was all about the Father's will. He confirms His word. And see, when you're on the wrong camp, when you're about doing your own agenda, why would He award any of that at all? I mean, why would He do that? Because that just justifies you and going to hell, one, and it doesn't do anybody else any good, and it's nothing for the kingdom.
It's not as a parent, as a father. You don't seek ways to encourage behavior that doesn't please you in your children. Why would you assume He does anything different?
Oh, absolutely. And we're flawed. I mean, we're talking about a perfect, loving Father. A perfect, loving Father here. And He has a plan. And He has a provision. And I was talking about the two camps this morning. He's talking about the two camps. That camp of He gives life and life abundantly. I have overcame the world. All these things, that's His plan. And it would be that What did he say? It would be that all would be saved. I think it's in Peter somewhere that all would be saved. However, or it's in one of the Gospels.
Timothy.
But we have free will. And that provision's laid out. That way is laid out. It's just up to us to choose it. He can't make it choose it for us. Can't choose it for us.
I'm trying to remember exactly
where that was.
Apparently would turn into shiny things, so I'm not going to pursue that. But it's not his desire that anybody perish. And I think there's also a place where Paul says he's the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Those are going to profit from that. The ones who don't believe can't profit from it. But he's the Savior of all men.
No, and he's God, and we need to get that through our mind. We're going to serve him. And you just don't worry about the rest. I mean, your eternal salvation and soul is in his arms. So it doesn't matter what happens to you. Remember Jeremiah? He was in that place of, Lord, I thought, you're alive, aren't you? He was in that pit or dungeon or whatever the case.
Whining about, Lord, your provision is like that of a dried up brook or something like that. I forget the exact words he uses, but it's like, really? I'm not sure I'd want to be there.
But we do it. We might not outright say that.
But we do.
We might not outright say that, but the way we throw our attitudes around about certain things, the way that certain things fall down, we do the same thing. It's in our heart. We just don't want to outright say it. We justify. We use words to justify ourselves in it, is what we do. We dress it up that we're not really in that position, at least with Jeremiah or whoever the case may be. They were just sitting there honest before the Lord what was on their heart.
Yeah, and the Lord can deal with that. When you're making when you're not even coming clean to yourself, you're always trying to impress, control, and manipulate others with there's a phrase I probably can't use here, but
worst of all, you deceive your own self.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not deceiving God. You're not deceiving, you might deceive others, but it doesn't matter. You're accountable to God. And the most thing, you're deceiving yourself, and you're robbing yourself. When you're in that place, you're robbing yourself from the goodness of the Lord. That's infecting you.
Well, you can be I have all these fragments of quotations from historical figures and stuff. They don't ever really come together to make the point I want to make. We have this tendency to break it down fundamentally. We're deceptive as all get out. We're prideful and arrogant and presumptuous, and we don't say things the way they are if they make us look bad. If there's a potential that they'll make us look bad. They and at least Jeremiah had that going for him. He was, that was not, when he was complaining, that was not presumption. It was humility, actually, in his case. It was him humbling himself. It's just the way he was going, Lord, what's going on here? He didn't mean.
It's like this is where I'm at.
Yeah,
this is where I'm at.
I don't think he intended to be judgmental.
No.
And Lord.
And I know that. I know. In that sense, I mean, this is where I'm at, Lord. This is where
the
I'm
Lord
at.
Was teaching him a thing, and you know, the Lord understood.
He's long suffering. He's gracious.
Well, and that's where we need to be, where we're humble enough to ask the Lord and tell him, Lord, this is where I am. I need your help.
Help me to overcome this, see clearly so I can serve you, Lord. You know, it's the I mean, that was David's was. So for what? So he could go and teach transgressors thy ways. And you see, I mean, I remember there was that thing, you know, when you talk about the Lamb of God, I think it was Steve was talking about the Lamb of God. Man, you can go to Jesus with anything. You can go to Jesus with anything. Any of your struggles, anything you're fighting against, anything that you're struggling against, you can go to the Lord for any of these things.
Yeah, he's about setting the captives free, setting those that are in bondage free from that bondage. If you're I don't know, there's probably a modern phrase that is escaping me at the moment, but when you choose, for instance, and you're going to college and you choose a fraternity or something, you go through an initiation in, and they're going to have the rites of initiation and all this kind of stuff, for the right to hang out together with Jesus. The rites of initiation are my burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
I mean, it's a gift. It's not something you have to earn. It's not some battle you have to go through. It's not I mean, it's like, here it is.
Yeah, I've done this so that we can have communion. I've done this so that you can have life. And it's done.
And that more abundantly.
That's right. And you choose whether you're going to hang and submit to his way and doing it his way with that yoke that... Which it keeps striking me that that's an instrument of submission. The ox know what their job is, and they submit to it. When that yoke's put on them, they know they're at work, and they do the master's will at that point.
Amen. And what does it say? It's easy. I mean, you look out here in the world and what the yoke that the world, because there's two camps. There's not.
But the truth of the matter is, we spend so much of the time not knowing what to do next. In situations where we don't know what to do. And in that particular situation, you have his instruction. You're informed by him. Amen. As to what to do. Amen. And that eases the burden of responsibility is now, only thing you is responsible to you is to yield to that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then you also got, but you got two different camps. I mean, you're either going to be of the world or you're going to be of the kingdom. There's no gray area. The Lord, there's a deceivableness of that. There is this gray area. There's not. It's black and white in the Lord. And the yoke of what the world has to offer, oh my gosh, that's burdensome. The yoke of what the Lord has to offer is easy.
Yeah, man, that's right. Let's see. Boy, we're at the point of wrap-up time.
James, you got anything else to say before we wrap this up?
Well, just, you know, listening to y'all and what we said, it reminds me that our default position is our own agenda, and that's how we wake up every day. When I wake up, my first thought is not, Lord, what can I do for you today? And that reset that you've talked about many times, Paul, is something that we all need to remember to do in the morning.
Amen.
Put on that mind of Christ, you know. Pray to the Lord, ask Him, tell Him, Lord, I'm a wretched sinner, I know that. I need You. I want to serve You today.
Absolutely. Good morning, Lord. How you doing? That starts the reset.
Yeah, if we don't start off right, it's hard to get right.
Yeah.
You're already spiraling downward.
All right, guys. Thanks, James. I'll call that a wrap for this week. Thank you for joining me here with the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller for Phil and James. May the Lord bless y'all. Have a really good week. And it looks like Texas is coming up at the top of the hour, so stay tuned for that. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.